The lines are open for you now, for you to call in to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Hello, I'm Joy Cardine. Looking forward to hearing what's on your mind today and what issues you would like to hear explored on this program in the weeks to come. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, August the 1st, and this hour, it's my August open line. We do this every month or so to hear from you, your suggestions for programs, your ideas for topics and guests, and your feedback, too. You can yell at me for cutting you off, or you can ask why we selected this topic or guest. We want to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. You know, we receive a lot of emails throughout the month. Our Listener Services Center also receives a lot of emails with feedback and program suggestions. Leo Duran, my producer, pulled a few of those off of our listener logs to share with me so I could share with you some of the comments we've received over the past month or so. One listener wondered, why did we do a program that was pro-bottled water? And went on to say, you blind yourself with this idea that you have to be impartial on every issue. There are two sides to every issue, but you don't have to represent them. I'm ashamed that you had on this guest. It was a guest that was from the bottled water industry who was defending the consumption of bottled water. We had had a guest on the week before who said you should drink from the tap and not buy bottled water because bottled water was bad for the environment. So we were representing another point of view. There are many sides to every issue, and we do strive to represent all of them when we do programs. So I'm sorry that this listener was ashamed that we had this guest, but that's what we do. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Looking for your feedback and your suggestions for topics and guests that you'd like to hear. To the phones we go. Bob in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Say, I was wondering if you've ever interviewed Robert Greenwald, who is the author of Iraq for Sale.
Sounds familiar, but I don't know if I did, but we'll put it down.
If you could put it down, I think that would be a real good movie for every American to see.
Yeah, and that was that on all the contractors who were over there?
Yes, it has to do with the contractors working in Iraq, Blackwater, and Halliburton, and so forth.
Right, and I know we did deal with that issue, but it may not have been with this particular guest. We'll check into it, and it's certainly worth doing. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right, appreciate your suggestion. And we will go next to John in Madison. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, I haven't really criticized Wisconsin Public Radio for a while, but I will today. I think there's been a softening of the topic that you have in the first 3 hours, which are the real highly listened 2 hours, and I would personally like to see at least one of the hours deal with national, international topics of the day, as usually handled by Kathleen Dunn, but I'd rather have you do it, both for the fact that there's more publicity since more people are listening to the particular topic in the first 3 hours, and I think you're the one that I'd prefer to have handle the topic. Mm-hmm. My second problem with Wisconsin Public Radio is you've been actively soliciting corporate sponsorship. You say now that the corporations provide 10% of the resources. When I first listened to Wisconsin Public Radio, it was like 6%. And the trouble I see is this. The Republicans don't like the free expression of opinion, and they don't like public radio. So they've always, for the last 20 years, been trying to cut the funding. And what this does is it forces the people in Wisconsin Public Radio to seek alternate funding. And when you go to corporate funding, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, there are strings attached. And what I see is that I've complained for 10 years there's not enough coverage of corporate crime. Recently, we've had trouble with the drugs dyspraxia, Vandia, OxyContin. Great, the huge settlement on OxyContin was $600 million. I didn't see shows on any of this. You know, Zorba Pastor is saying a few words on his show, which I love, does not suffice for an examination of the drug industry not living up to any kind of regulatory standards. And the other thing that I've also noticed was the Supreme Court made a decision that said that they're going to allow the manufacturer and the middleman to set minimum prices, which are going to cost the average family $100 per year. Now, this is the kind of Supreme Court decision that is in favor of the corporations and against the individual that I expect some coverage from Wisconsin Public Radio. My final thing is that there's an excellent book out that's a great adjunct to Alfred McCoy's The Question of Torture, and it's a new book by Dominic Streatfeild. It's called Brainwash, and it kind of fleshes out everything that McCoy said, and it will demonstrate to anybody that reads the book psychological torture, in other words, the use of sensory deprivation, stress positions, debilitation, sleep deprivation. This is real torture. It ruins people, and it's something that the Bush administration doesn't want to acknowledge.
Thank you very much, John, for your suggestions and your criticisms. I'm not going to debate whether or not we've gotten softer or not. We certainly try to provide national and international coverage of issues during these first 3 hours of the morning as well. But we also talk about state issues and cultural issues as well. So we'll keep that in mind. Thanks a lot. Cindy in Franklin, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. My suggestion is that you talk more about taxes, especially the alternative minimum tax. A lot of people are probably not aware of this, that Congress put a temporary patch on the alternative minimum tax, and if they haven't been hit before, they'll definitely be hit this year if Congress did not do anything about it. So a lot of people are going to be, I compute my taxes before the tax time actually happens. I do a forecast, and we've never been hit before, my family, but this year we will be, and it will be a lot, just because the temporary patch expired. So I'd be really interested to know, and I'm sure a lot of people would be interested to know also, if Congress is doing anything temporary or if there are any plans for a permanent tax on the alternative minimum tax.
Thank you very much for that suggestion. We can look into that. Also ask one of our congresspeople next time we have one on. We did a series in the past month inviting all of our U.S. representatives, and for that matter, we invited our senators as well to join to talk with you. You did hear from Paul Kagan. I'm sorry. We'll get a list of it. I think it was Ryan, Kagan, Moore, and Feingold. All joined us in the past month, and we'll continue to do that. And we can talk about alternative minimum taxes, too. Thanks. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890 for you to make a suggestion. Tom in Burlington. Hi, you're on the air.
Briefly, I'd just like to touch on a couple subjects. I saw Hairspray as a movie out with John Travolta at the Marcus Theater on Highway 20 in Racine. It's a beautiful theater, and it's a wonderful show. If anybody likes musicals, get out there and see Hairspray. Bring the family, because it's a toe-tapper, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, thanks.
And I really highly recommend it. On the serious side, we still have the Georgia Thompson scandal is hanging over the Washington. Mr. Gonzalez, the attorney, U.S. Attorney General, had to appear before the Judiciary Committee this week,
right.
And this scandal affects us directly here in Wisconsin, and I wish we would maybe get Georgia, interview her and see what was it. She was in jail 4 months. She was convicted, and then now we just read in the newspaper, she was cleared, and Mr. Doyle was cleared again for something else by a Republican attorney general, but yeah. Is it possible to get a hold of Georgia Thompson and maybe sit, ask her what it was like in jail and how did she feel and how did her family get destroyed or whatever it did?
All right. Thanks, Tom. You made that suggestion last month, too. We just didn't follow up on it for some reason. We certainly have done a lot on the U.S. attorney firings and the cloud that Attorney General Gonzalez is under, though, and we'll continue to keep an eye on it. I do appreciate that, and thanks for the recommendation to see Hairspray, too. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is my August open line on this Wednesday, August the 1st, where we ask for your suggestions of programs you'd like to hear on this program between 6 and 9 weekday mornings. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Veronica Rickard in for Kathleen Dunn between 9 and 11. According to Veronica's first guest this morning, three things influence a person's vote: feelings toward the parties and their principles, feelings toward individual candidates, and, if still undecided, feelings toward a candidate's policy positions. She talks with the author of The Political Brain coming up after 9 o'clock. We're looking for your suggestions for issues and guests that you would like to hear on this program in the weeks to come. Jan in Marshfield is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. My suggestion has to do with free market fundamentalism. And in light of all the discussions that have gone on recently with regard to health care, I don't hear the discussion go to the heart of why it's such a difficult topic, because what, and I'm not really suggesting a program on about health care again. What I'm leaning more toward is something where did we get the idea that the markets would fix everything? That even in the preamble of the Constitution, promote the general welfare seems to be left behind in this discussion. And it seems to be that this is behind a lot of the privatization, the mm-hmm. big push for that. And I read an article back in March by Ruth Rosen, and she teaches at Berkeley, and she's a historian and a journalist and teaches policy. And she's also at the Longview Institute, and I don't know if she does radio interviews.
All right.
But she might be a good place to start.
At the Longview Institute.
Right.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate that suggestion. It's nice if you also have a specific guest in mind. We can always check that out. We appreciate your suggestion, Jan. Wayne in Holman is with us now. Hi, Wayne.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes. Nice to hear your voice. I always enjoy you very much. I would like to recommend, as a conservative Republican, I always feel welcome on your program, by the way, Joyce.
You are welcome. Thanks for calling.
We don't hear too many conservatives, but hopefully that'll change in the course of events. But Walter Williams was the chair of the economics department at George Mason University. He's a very interesting African-American speaker, clearly a very conservative African-American, and I hope I don't put a pox on his house, but he on occasion subs for Rush Limbaugh. And I think you or Kathleen can control your audience so that he isn't ridiculed too much. But he is very fun to listen to. He's humorous, but he does get a few jabs in there. And it's just a different point of view from an African-American conservative. And I think you've had Thomas Sowell or Shelby Steele on in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't heard them lately, but it's a thought.
It's a good thought, but is there like a specific issue you'd like us, because normally we don't just have a guest on to say, let's talk about anything in the world. Is
he'll deal specifically with taxation.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it thievery, and he gets into some of the where our taxes are going and for some of the social welfare programs. He has a problem with some of that stuff, and I think he'll be very open with you and discuss those kinds of issues.
Yeah, I've got a question for you, Wayne. Thank you for that suggestion. I think it's a good one. What do you think, why do you think it is not too many conservative callers, though I think more than used to, join us? Why do you think that? Is there afraid of the host?
Not at all. I sometimes get the impression, no, I think you enjoy, and I only listen to you two because I have to work in the afternoon, but I get the impression that the left thinks public radio belongs to them for some odd reason. And whenever there's a conservative guest on, they get pummeled virtually. And you've heard some comments. One of your guests was called a mass murderer because he was a popular science editor, and they did a study on the Twin Towers collapse. And, oh, my goodness sakes,
yeah.
It was ridiculous. I mean, I don't sense that liberals appreciate different points of view. I think it's their way or the highway, and I've never understood it. I like public radio. I sense I get a little more liberal perspective, but that's okay. That's great. I listen to Rush Limbaugh, I get a different perspective. I don't know how else we learn and grow if we don't get different perspectives.
Thank you very much, Wayne, and I hope you continue to listen and call in. And we appreciate the suggestion of Walter Williams. Got it down. Rick in La Crosse is with us now. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just calling to explain why I haven't called. I think that there's been a softening of the topics.
Yeah, give me an example.
One doesn't come to mind right now, but I just turned off the radio and I don't want to listen to something that I think is boring. But not only that, the screening has gotten a lot more exclusivist, I would say, and banishing of opinions or that, you know, the screening has gotten such that, you know, I don't want to argue with the screener every time I call, basically.
Yeah, and we do try. So, I mean, you feel as though you have an on-topic question and you're being screened out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want every time I call to have to argue with the screener.
Right. Well, I'm sorry about that you feel as though you're arguing with the screener. The screeners are trying to put on questions of all different perspectives and trying to make sure that the question...
No, I feel it's censoring. Mm-hmm.
Well, why? So you think that somebody should be able to call in and say whatever they want?
Not necessarily, but within reason. Within reason.
Mm-hmm.
Within reason. And I feel that the screening has gotten NPR-esque. And I've made criticism before that constructive criticism that Wisconsin Public Radio is great because it's independent from NPR. But the minute that NPR starts dictating how to screen people, then it loses its independence. And I know that what was the name of the lady went to Washington D.C. and studied some screening techniques. Terry Gross, or no?
Well, her name's Cheryl Gasser, but we know what NPR's policies are in terms of screening, and they're much stricter than we are and still are. But in any case, we do want to make sure, though, that we are putting on calls on the air that are on topic and civil and are going to advance the conversation and not necessarily pick apart some little minor point that was mentioned a half an hour ago. You know, that's so. There are, yes, we are being a little stricter on the screening, but not to censor you or to censor any viewpoints.
Well, I hope that that, you know, you kind of relax it a little bit and not so have so many topics that are kind of bland.
Yeah, well, I wish you had an example of what the bland topics are, because I think we're trying to do a good job finding all sorts of wide variety of things. But you can't give me an example of what's bland. Let's see, tomorrow at this time, let's see if this is hard enough for you and interesting enough for you. We have John Nichols, who is the associate editor of the Capital Times and also the, I think he's a correspondent for The Nation magazine and the author of many books, will be on to talk about impeachment versus censure. And why he backs Russ Feingold's position on this issue. Russ Feingold says he's not going to push for impeachment, but rather for censure. And we'll hear John Nichols talking about that tomorrow between 8 and 9. Hope you don't think that's bland. And John, I hope you think that's maybe hard enough. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Oh, and Leo reminded me that of all the congressional delegation, we did have on Petry, Moore, Kagan, Feingold, Kind, and Baldwin in recent weeks. And we'll continue to try to bring you your U.S. representative or senator coming up in the weeks to come. Asher in Sheboygan, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. This might be for NPR, but I was hoping that you could do a little more about the upcoming election and the candidates.
All right. Well, we've been trying to do that. What would you like to hear?
Well, mostly it's probably going to be too hard to happen. But
you want to hear the candidates themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we actually have invited them. We've heard from some of the presidential candidates, but not very many of them. I had on this program... Bill Richardson was on this program. Who else? Well, anyway, we have had some of the maybe more lower-tier candidates on the air with us. And, well, we had Tommy Thompson on a couple of weeks ago. How's that?
That was great.
But, yeah, you're right. We put in requests, and they don't they're not interested necessarily in just hearing, you know, just talking to a Wisconsin audience at this time, or mainly. But we'll continue to try, and we'll continue to bring in different political analysts and others to talk about their positions anyway. So.
Okay. And I just had one more quick comment, too. I was just noticing how many bloggers there are in Wisconsin. Maybe if you can't do the presidential candidates, you could have a discussion with some bloggers.
Sure. I think that's a good idea. We can certainly, but we'd want to try to find, I don't know, maybe we'd have to have it as a debate, if because every blogger has certainly a specific point of view. Yeah, that would be an idea. Thank you. Charles in Wisconsin Rapids, hi, you're on the air. Charles, we need to go move on since you were listening to your radio and not through the telephone. We have a delay, by the way, everybody, so if you're not listening through the telephone and listening to your radio, you're not going to be on the air for 7 seconds, and that causes feedback and a delay. Charles in Superior, hi, you're on the air.
Morning.
Morning.
I have a suggestion for a guest. He's an instructor at West Point. He's a military history expert, and his name is Brian Fishman, and the question that I, you know, think should be addressed with for that hour would be, are we making things better or worse as far as terrorism goes? In other words, is our current U.S. policy breeding more terrorists and serving as a catalyst to more terrorism? Are we growing more terrorists? Are we making the people that would be terrorists more angry at us? And the second question would be, what is the importance of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which the president seems to keep harping on lately? Every time he has a speaking opportunity, he talks about Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and I think it's very small. And I think it's a very small part of what's going on in Iraq. And I think that he could address that very adeptly.
And what do you think he would say? Is he going to say that we're breeding more terrorists?
I think that he would have an objective viewpoint on the fact that we may or may not be. And he might very well say that that we are. I think he has a perspective a little bit based in reality, since he's training officers that are going to be going over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a very unique perspective.
Thank you very much, Charles. Appreciate that. Brian Fishman at West Point. And our next caller is Charles in Wisconsin Rapids. Are you there, Charles?
I am.
Good.
Good morning. There are social service agencies that help young people who are coming out of cults or just non-mainline religions like the Amish, who have to adjust to normal life. But now we have, you know, the religious right, maybe an economist, a political science person, or a psychologist could discuss what's the effect on the economy where you have people making, if they go into business, for instance, making business decisions based on the idea that the world will end in the next few years and they don't have to do long-range business planning. What's the effect on a culture where a lot of people think that the world is only 4,600 years old and was created in literal 7 days, and people aren't given normal, adequate sex education? If this right-wing religious group continues to grow, what's it going to do to the quality of life in the country?
Thank you very much for that suggestion. You know, I think that we have a call in anyway to... Is it Christopher Hitchens, who is the author of the book God is Not Great? He is coming to Madison in the fall for a convention of the Freedom from Religion Foundation. Ben Marin's had him on his program when his book first came out, but we thought we would check in with him since he's coming to town in the fall to come on the program again. And so we'll have him on sometime in the fall, we hope. Dave in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I do. I've been waiting a long time to say this, and this is based on years of experience with your show since you've been on Wisconsin Public Radio. Over the years, you've given me and others a significant amount of time to speak, like John in Madison, for example, is an example. And sometimes you even give us the all-powerful, almighty, very coveted follow-ups. Also, you have an incredible ability to assimilate vast amounts of information, which you use very effectively for three whole hours, information sufficient for 3 whole hours, for great interviewing, very probing questions, relevant questions, and questions that I and others wouldn't think to ask. Second, I agree with everything John and Madison said. Also, and some of the more harder, I guess what we're talking about harder issues would be, for example, the subprime lending market,
yeah,
or economic issues.
You know, Dave, I hate to interrupt. I want you. We did do programs on the subprime. All right, so we have. What else would you like? I mean, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
There's one I'd really like to hear. Every month, you used to have Bill Duddleston come on, and he would give us a briefing.
Right. And the last time we had him on, he told us he was going to go to Sweden for a year away. So we'll try him again, but I don't think he's back from that yet.
How about another economist?
Yeah, and we have. Yeah, and I'm not. I don't mean to argue. So you want to hear more economists?
Yeah, something about tax policy, for example, extremely controversial. The federal budget. Extremely controversial. Federal budget and tax policy, that's where the power is. It's all in Senate finance, House Ways and Means, and also in with respect to the federal budget, the appropriations process.
Oh, I think yes, we certainly can. I know I think we had Kevin Quinn as one we have on from St. Norbert, but we can certainly look for other economists to talk about these issues.
Great.
Yes. And I appreciate all your kind words, and I'm happy to take down your suggestions. When you said we haven't been doing the hard issues like, though, the subprime interest, you know, and mortgage problems, I just had to point out that we did. So is there any other than economic issues, hard issues that you haven't been hearing?
I'm happy to hear that you have been doing these shows. We don't always get a chance except to hear your show all the time. You know, people are working or they're doing other kinds of things. Yeah, there is one show that's really very rarely done, and I understand it's very rarely done. Not so much because it's you know, this isn't associated as much with hard issues versus soft issues, but there is one show that's very rarely done because I understand quote the phones go dead unquote, and that's on Darfur. This is a Holocaust, just like the Holocaust in Nazi Germany or the Holocaust in Cambodia, and it's really getting no coverage. That I would consider a very hard, although not very controversial, although perhaps, yeah, very controversial issue, as a matter of fact. And I think it could generate some sufficient call volume to do it.
Oh, I think it's a good one that we can go back to. And it has been a while, though, since we've done the Darfur crisis. And I will put that down, and I'll talk to Leo Duran when we get off the air about scheduling something on that. Thank you very much. What about you? What would you like to hear on this program? A guest, an issue? Certainly you can chime in on whether you think we've gone too soft or aren't hard enough, as Dave and John think is the case. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. But then I'd like to know what's too soft and what is that hard issue that you're not hearing. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is my August open line, doing it first thing on this Wednesday, August the 1st. Looking for your suggestions for guests and topics, your feedback on the program, your questions about the program. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Stay tuned. Veronica Rickard in for Kathleen Dunn after 9 o'clock, talking with the author of the book, The Political Brain. And then after 10 o'clock, do you trust your gut feelings? We'll talk about gut feelings after 10. Our next caller with a suggestion is Barbara in Wapaka. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Joy. I just wanted to say I think you have very timely and important programs, and I enjoy them whenever I can listen to them. And what I would like to see is, and I don't know how exactly to account for this, but more follow-up of some of the programs, because often you get to the end of an hour and you say, you know, wow, there are more callers, or this or that has been asserted, we'd love to have you back. And I realize that if you keep having the same people back, you can't have new people. But I wondered if you could do some kind of a follow-up where, in fact, the hour or however much time it would be, you would have no callers in per se, but you will have gone back to programs that where people either asserted, you know, that what the issue that they were talking about will be changed in 6 months because they support X, Y, or Z, or that a certain grievance will be addressed or whatever, and go back and just see if you could call that person and record 2 or 3 minutes with that person on a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is possible, but it seemed to me you could get a bunch of follow-ups into a short span of time if you did that. And there's so many times that there is a question that I wonder what became of, you know, whatever.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of how we would do that. Then so I'd be talking about something else, and then but just say here's so and so on tape following up that program 6 months ago, and just play a snippet. Is that what you're looking for?
No, I think that what you could do is go to, if you would look back at the programs and see where a particular issue was sort of open ended, or a promise was made, or something was asserted that something was going to make a change, then you would call the person who had been your guest for that program and say, hello, this is Joy Cardine. I'm doing a follow-up on this and such question. Could you give me an update? And if they could give you a 3 or 4 minute update, and you would call maybe, I mean, I'm just
right.
guessing, but
yeah,
people.
You're just looking for a 3 or 4 minute update, though. You're not looking for another program that would follow up on that issue that was left hanging 6 months ago. You're just looking for a 3 minute segment, not an hour long call-in show.
Well, I'm looking for an hour-long show filled with 3 or 4 minute segments.
I'm slow. I'm sorry. I get it. I see what you're saying. It's something we can try to consider, Barbara. Probably 3 or 4 segments, meaning for a full hour, meaning we'd have to try to contact dozens of guests to fill that hour to follow up on dozens of different issues. Might be a little bit hard.
Well, yeah, I think you could probably get in with a good follow-up, maybe 6 people per hour. And I just thought of this. It's not something that is, you know, I have completely lined out, and I realize it would take a lot of research on your part.
I get what you're saying. We'll talk it over. We'll talk it over. Even getting 6 different people for 1 hour it is a matter of staff resources to try to book 6 different people for 1 hour when we have just for this program alone, 3 hours to fill could be kind of difficult. But I appreciate the sentiment and what you're trying to get at, and it's something that we can try to figure out how to do a better job of following up on some of the issues. Thank you. James in Appleton, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I really enjoy your programming a lot, and I have called a couple times. My suggestion is that you maybe do a little more programming on environmental things, environmental concerns, policies,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Do you have a specific or, you know, some sort of timely or current environmental issue you'd like to hear about?
I think it'd be good to, I know the listeners of this program are intelligent enough to keep the conservation of the Earth's resources as a forethought rather than an afterthought.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, it needs to be brought to the attention, actually, of, you know, of the general public more, you know, more than it is, because I just believe that, you know, it's important to do that.
Well, you're right, James, that I know that public radio listeners in general and listeners to this program specifically have always cared about the environment and want to hear more environmental issues discussed. Been trying to do a lot of that with the various climate change issues always in the news, and we'll continue to look for those. Thank you. Let me remind you, I wanted to invite you to a special listener event that is coming up in Milwaukee on Sunday, August the 26th. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope you will join me. I'll be there along with Kathleen Dunn, Gene Faraca, and Ben Marins. I think my boss, Phil Corvo, is also going to be there. This is a day of discovery Discover the World at the Discovery World Museum on Sunday, August the 26th. This event will include a trip on a sailboat, the sailing ship, a schooner-like ship, the Dennis Sullivan. There's room for about 50 people to go on this 2.5-hour sail, this educational expedition. So there are limited tickets for the sailboat, the Dennis Sullivan. But if you don't care to sail or if you miss the boat, you can join all of us on shore following the expedition for a reception. All of us will be at the reception to talk with you and to hobnob with you. We'll get a special tour. I think this is a special after-hours tour of the Discovery World Museum and a private tour, also a very nice buffet dinner. Overlooking beautiful Lake Michigan. This is all happening on Sunday, August the 26th. And you can call for more information, 1-800-486-8655. 1-800-486-8655. I'm really looking forward to it and possibly meeting you. And I know Kathleen and Jean and Ben are also looking forward to it. So call for more information or to purchase tickets, 1-800-486-8655. Our next caller is Dave in Wanakee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a suggestion and a criticism. My suggestion is this upcoming week is Yearly Coast in Chicago, and it'd be nice to have some program on it or some people from Daily Coast, like Marcos Melitzis or some of the other bloggers that are on there regularly.
Okay.
My criticism is that, and this is generally for Wisconsin Public Radio, yourself included, is that it sounds to me like when you have a guest on, you have a list of questions you ask them, and the questions may be hard-hitting, maybe not, but it doesn't matter what the person answers because you don't seem to listen to what they're saying. You just let it go by without a follow-up question. And they say some pretty ridiculous things sometimes, and they should get nailed for it.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
that doesn't ever seem to happen.
Well, I'm sorry it doesn't happen. We certainly try to follow up if somebody doesn't answer the question, but I'll admit they certainly do slip by from time to time, and I like to bring, I'm bringing on callers sometimes. You can call in, too, and point out that so-and-so didn't answer the question. You know, if you feel as though, you know, what exactly is the answer to question X?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. And I, we can make sure that the guest answers the question and that we follow up. Joan in Clear Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, hi. Happy birthday one day late.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you very much.
I thought about you yesterday. Mm-hmm. Well, I have two ideas. I love your show. Anyway, I think you're great.
Thanks.
But I had heard that the APA, and this has to do with all the torturing at Guantanamo and the black sites, whatever they are. But the AMA, American Medical Association, and the American Psychiatric Association will not let their people participate. But the American Psychological Association will. And they're having like a big convention over the weekend. And I thought, you know, this would be good for us to hear about. And then one more thing was I heard on BBC that I don't know who they are, but the Sunni people that are in the Iraqi Congress are all pulling out. And what does that mean? I mean, how does that, you know, affect us?
That's
all?
That's a good one to follow up on. I know we were going to do a program, you know, following up on what's going on in Iraq sometime in the near future. So that might be an angle there. And thank you for the other suggestion as well, Joan, and for your birthday wishes. Steve in Fish Creek is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
I'm calling in a sense in a relation to what the earlier caller was speaking about regarding conservative guests and them being perhaps mistreated or abused by callers who are so liberal that they become divisive and insulting. And I think it's difficult. I pity you having to screen the difference between a true conservative and a rubber stamp Republican. And what I'm getting at is that I really feel like it would be great to hear from somebody who represents the Eisenhower Republicans, the people who are truly conservative, who look for smaller government, who look for fiscal conservancy. And, you know, Eisenhower's final speech when he left office was really incredibly moving, from a general who fought in World War II to warn the nation against becoming a military-industrial complex because of having charged up this energy to win the war. Now we have to decharge and de-assemble the link between the corporations and the manufacture of weaponry. And Eisenhower gave such a powerful speech. There's a film called Why We Fight, and it's a directed by Eugene Jarecki, who might be a possible guest. His name is Jarecki, Why We Fight. And in it, he talks about basically the entire dilemma that we're in now, where our nation is imperialist. We make wars, and we fight, and we sell weaponry to other nations as if that's our new product to sell, $8 billion worth of weaponry to Saudi Arabia. Now we have another new sale in Europe to put up a missile defense system. And we've lost our true creative base and manufacturing base, with our own auto industry and other things failing and industries going offshore. And, you know, this whole warning that Eisenhower gave is incredibly powerful at this moment in time.
All right. Steve, thank you very much. Certainly give that some thought. I appreciate your suggestions. Yeah, we do look for guests who are conservative, who are Republican, who are moderate, and not just, as you put it, rubber stamp Republicans, and try to find all of those guests. Heidi in Madison is with us now. Hi. Ooh, really loud phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. I'm in a kind of a flat spot here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, maybe you can be very brief, though. I'm sorry.
Okay. The topic I'm interested in is the legal processes of drunk driving and repeat offenders that are out on the road that are convicted for 5, 6, 7 DUIs,
right,
that are still in the community.
Right.
And I'm just trying to figure out how that happens.
I think that's a good idea. We did have a lawmaker on recently who is proposing some legislation to get even tougher on repeat drunk drivers. And we can maybe follow that particular legislation, too. Thank you for the suggestion, Heidi, and thanks for calling. Sorry the cell phone was a little noisy. Lynn in Crystal Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Joy. I just told your screener that my favorite program on all of radio is, excuse me, your Friday Morning Week in Review.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we hold Wisconsin Public Radio to a much higher standard, and that's why you get some criticism that other places don't get. So I hope you won't take offense.
No, I don't, and we also open up the lines to hear the criticism.
Yeah.
So.
You know, on several occasions, and I can give you a specific example, one of your guests has made a statement that is, you know, totally incorrect, and there have been recent news reports prior to that where that shouldn't have gotten by, and I will give you an example. And I can't remember the names of the people, but one of them is the law professor from the University of Wisconsin, and she's a great speaker. But you were talking about the recent airline scare where they were talking about it was a dry run.
Mm-hmm.
And in the news, you know, the day before, they had cleared that whole thing up and said that, you know, it was some lady, you know, who was carrying cheese in her baggage and, you know, some stuff for her cameras, and there was absolutely nothing to it. And when I think the other person who was opposing this woman said, you know, a lot of times they hype these things and they scare us like that, and she just totally disputed that. And the fact of the matter was, that's exactly what had happened. So I really think it's important on the news programs on Friday morning that everybody be really up to date on the most recent events,
right,
and what the
right
facts are.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate that, Lynn, but you know,
yeah,
I'm not sure that the that there, you know, the Transit Authority had sent out the warning, and that's what was being talked about. I don't know if it's completely cleared up. That I think some of the incidents were decided that, yes, this is absolutely, there's absolutely nothing was going on here. I think that authorities are still scratching their head over some of them, though.
Yeah.
I don't think they have been totally cleared up as absolutely nothing, is what I'm saying.
I think, you know, we need to be really careful when people kind of make comments and then...
Right, and so we had two different guests, and the other guest said, so we had two guests sort of debating that particular issue.
Right.
You wanted what? You wanted me to say, here's the definitive answer?
Just to be up on what the very latest thing is, if you possibly can, just so that people can't make statements when there is factual evidence in the news. That might not have been the best example I could come up with, but...
Right, and especially on the Weekend Review, you're right. I mean, on the Weekend Review, though, I sometimes leave it to the other guest to debate and not me saying, so-and-so, you're wrong, here's what I,
And that's important.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion, and I think this has really been remiss in most of the news coverage that has taken place in this country, and that is on the oil sharing agreements with Iraq. We keep saying that their government is not following through on the, what are those things they're calling them, the principles or something, the things they have to do in order for us to leave, what the government has to negotiate among the different parts of the government in Iraq. And one of them is the oil sharing agreements. They never go into detail about what that is. And what that involves is letting private oil companies take over and basically, do whatever they want to do with Iraqi oil, rather than the government and the country of Iraq controlling their own oil. And nobody goes into detail on this, and this really is the reason that we have gotten ourselves involved in Iraq. And whether you agree with me on that point, I would at least like you to have some experts on who can talk about those oil sharing agreements.
Oh, absolutely, and we have, with somebody who thought it was just awful that there was going to be the sale of those oil supplies. So thank you very much. I'm sorry, we're at the end of the program. If you have other suggestions, you can always send them to us. My email is cardin@wpr.org. You can also mail them to us, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. You can go to our website. There's plenty of places to provide listener feedback and to send suggestions. Our website is wpr.org. We appreciate all of your feedback, all of your suggestions. We will take it all to heart. We will consider all of them. Please don't be offended if your suggestion doesn't turn into a program tomorrow. We do what we can, though. Thank you very much. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.